I'd like to encourage you to take out your Bibles and turn with me to Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20. I'd like to talk with you about evil and good. Good and evil. This is going to be a topic or a theme that we will talk about from time to time in the next several months. I'm going to use this as an opportunity to address certain things that our world is very confused about. In Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20, the prophet Isaiah writes on behalf of our holy God, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." The Lord here addresses the fact that there is at times going to be confusion and contradiction in the minds of men. And the Lord here offers a divine warning against this kind of misinformation or disinformation. Now, we may be involved in misinformation. That's when we either tell or believe a lie accidentally. We may be involved in disinformation. That is when we tell or believe a lie that is intentional. But I tell you, either way, whether it's misinformation or disinformation, if it's not the truth, then it's a lie. And as children of God, we are called to speak, believe, and practice the truth, not lies. And by the way, this goes for what we post and what we share on Facebook, Twitter, and other social media as well. We have to be people who uphold the truth, who present the truth, who support the truth, and who share the truth. Now, there aren't many people in this world today who call out sin for what it is. Instead of cleaning up their lives, many people have tried to clean up sin by renaming it, by putting it in different terms, or simply by ignoring it. I'd like to talk for a little bit today about denominationalism. Because sadly, there are a lot of people who think of denominationalism and the various churches that are seen around towns all over this world as okay, as even good, thinking that that is a diversity that is approved of. You know, there's a lot of diversity in this world that our God has created, but he did not create the diversity in the religious world today. He did not create denominations. That's a product of man's thinking. That's the outcome of people abandoning, leaving behind God's word, either neglecting to do what God has prescribed or going beyond it in doing what they believe to be God's will. And to call those things good, which run counter to God's will, is really evil. Now, I believe that there are perhaps some sincere people who are interested in spiritual things in some of these churches. I believe that there are some religious people, just as there were in Acts chapter 17, who worshipped the various idols in Athens. The Apostle Paul addresses them as religious, but then he teaches them the truth. He speaks the truth in love, trying to bring about repentance in their lives and obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that they may be one with God in Christ. But did you know that there are some, even among our own brethren, that say there are saved people in denominational churches? There are some, and sadly even some of our own brethren, who approve of and promote spiritual fellowship with denominations. Some, even of our own brethren, have gone so far as to try to conduct joint worship services or swap the pulpit, denominational preacher preaching in the Lord's church and the Lord's preacher preaching in the denominational church. I want you to listen carefully to this, because there are some who will find this objectionable. But I'll tell you, what God finds objectionable is trying to go contrary to his plan and pattern given to us in his word. Because that's what denominationalism does. It tries to divide. It tries to make acceptable what is unacceptable by God. It tries to take God's plan and pattern and run counter to it. And if God's plan is righteous, then something that runs counter to it is unrighteous. If God's plan and pattern for His church is holy, then something that runs counter to, seeks to divide, is unholy. If God's plan and pattern could be categorized, could be seen and observed by God as being good, then anything that runs counter to that, that tries to speak against that, or promote anything else other than that, is plainly evil. Now let's consider just a little bit of what God has said through His Word and through His Son about His church and about truth. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, the Lord Jesus Christ said there is just one church, and that is His church. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 16. In Matthew chapter 16, I want you to notice in verse 15, let's go back to verse 15 of Matthew chapter 16. Jesus said to His disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." What has been revealed? That Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Further, in verse 18, Jesus said, "I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock, that is, upon this truth that I am the Son of God," Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." And let's notice a couple of things about this. For one thing, it's based upon this truth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, which indicates His authority, His divine authority as God. Furthermore, He said, "I will build my church." There's a singular nature to that church, but also it is a personal possession of Jesus Christ. And furthermore, He said, "The gates of Hades," that is, death, "shall not prevail against it." He will overcome even death. And we know, according to the Roman letter, that when Jesus was resurrected from the dead, that demonstrated Him to be the Son of God with power, authority. Now think about this. Let's put all this together. The Lord says there's just one church. He says it is His church. And that's why, for example, we find in Ephesians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul talking about the one. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4, in part he says, "There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling." One body. Just one body. And we find that that body is the body of Christ. Not the physical body, but His spiritual body, His church. We find in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. Here the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 12, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slave or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit." One body. Not two bodies, not three bodies, not multiple bodies, but one body. And when he talks about this one body being comprised of many members, he's not talking about it being comprised of many congregations. He's talking about individuals. That's why in verse 20 of the same opening, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20, the Apostle Paul said, "But now indeed there are many members, yet one body." He's talking about individual people comprising this one body, the body of Christ. And he says in Romans chapter 12, verse 4 and verse 5, "For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another." There is a relationship primarily with Jesus Christ in His one body. There is a relationship then among the members, one with each other. But I'll tell you, denominationalism, by its very definition, is division. It's an attempt to divide the Lord's church. And anything that tries to divide the Lord's church, His one body, runs counter to what He wants, what He has designed, and what He has accomplished. and is therefore evil. Some people will say that I've gone too far in this application. Some people will say that I'm being harsh or hating people. But the reality is, the lie of the devil is what calls good evil and evil good, that tries to reverse these things that are contrary to each other. To call denominationalism, this division, good, is to go against the plan of God. Let's notice what Jesus' desire is, what his prayer is in John chapter 17. John chapter 17, this is the night in which Jesus is betrayed, the night before he goes to the cross, the night in which he would prepare himself to give his life for the sin of the world, to provide salvation for you and for me. So here is the most selfless act about to be accomplished, and this is what he's concerned about. This is what he's praying for. This is his divine desire being expressed in prayer to his Father in John chapter 17, verse 20 and 21. Jesus said of his apostles, I did not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Now, he's talking about the apostles and the presentation of the gospel. The gospel which will encourage, prompt, and bring about belief in Jesus through the word. But notice he said further, his desire is this, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Think about that. The word produces belief. The belief in Jesus Christ that responds to the word makes possible our unity with Christ and in Christ. It makes possible our unity with the Father, that our relationship may be like Jesus has with the Father. That is a spiritual union. And what does that accomplish? That proper spiritual union that comes about through belief in the Word and belief in Jesus Christ encourages others in this world to believe that God sent his Son, Jesus Christ. But you see, the denominationalism that divides, that causes confusion. How many people who are listening to the sermon find it upsetting, find it confusing, find it overwhelming to see all the division and the confusion in this religious world? Denominationalism divides and is contrary to the prayer and plan of Jesus for his church. The Lord prayed for, planned for, and commands unity. And that can only be accomplished when we obey the gospel of Jesus Christ and we come into union with him. Let's notice the scathing rebuke that the Apostle Paul levies at the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul is writing to a congregation of God's people who are dividing, who are starting to take sides, who are leaving and departing from the gospel to follow after their own will, follow after and produce confusion and division. And this is what he has to say by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 10. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Think about what he's just said here. He said, I'm hearing things from Chloe's household about division in the Lord's church. Now, some will say, well, Chloe's household is meddling in other people's business. Chloe's household is just tattletaling. Chloe's household is trying to be judgmental or divisive. But in reality, someone or all in Chloe's household were declaring the truth. We're speaking what is good and calling evil what it is. There's division. And the Apostle Paul said, with the force of Jesus Christ and his authority as an apostle of Jesus Christ, I plead with you, speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you. Be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Because what they're doing now is not working. What they're doing now is not God's plan. It is not representative of the Lord's church. In fact, it's bringing division. And he then makes that example of himself and of others. I say that each of you says, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. They were dividing up behind different men, different preachers of the gospel, and abandoning the plan and pattern and will of God. And Paul says, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? These are all questions that go unanswered because the answer is implied, no. Christ is not divided. Paul was not crucified for you, and you weren't baptized in the name of Paul. You see, division is condemned. Unity is commanded. We must not call the evil of denominationalism good. We must learn the truth. And the truth commands that we speak the truth in love. Let's turn back to Ephesians chapter 4. If we find ourselves calling the evil of denominationalism good, we're not speaking the truth in love. If we call denominationalism good, we can't help the lost come out of their sin and into Christ, into his church. And if we support denominationalism as good, we're encouraging division of the Lord's church. And if we do that, we're condemned because we support a false doctrine and are involved in worshiping God in vain. Notice what the Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 11. And he, that is Jesus, himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined, knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. When we speak the truth in love, not everyone is going to appreciate it. Not everyone is going to obey it. Not even like it. But that's what we must do. We must speak the truth in love. Love means we do our best to seek the best for others, helping them to come out of their sin and into Christ through obedience to the gospel. That's love. That's our work as saints. We edify the body of Christ. We build it up to the purpose and to the end that we are united in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, that we're working towards perfection, to the fullness of Christ. We're supposed to move on from being children, tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine. We're not supposed to fall for the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. You see, the trickery of men, the craftiness and cunning deceitful plotting, those are what try to redefine a denomination, for example, as good, when in reality it is nothing but division and is evil. And so, what do? We speak the truth in love, that we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, now notice that's singular, and that is, as Jesus has declared, his body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. There's unity, and there is a strength that's possible there. And that's according to the effective working by which every part does its share. And so we can't be divided in this way of thinking that calls evil good and good evil. Speaking the truth brings those who are divided by sin into union with Christ, makes us stronger, makes us better, makes us who we're called to be. And speaking the truth in love can result in our being one in Christ, who is our head, who is our Lord, and who is our Savior. You know, John the Baptist, as people came to understand the truth and asked him what they needed to do in response to the truth, commanded each to repent. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ did. This is what his apostles do, and this is what faithful gospel preachers and faithful brethren in the Lord's family do. Let's first address the fundamental problem that we presented in this lesson in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20. We saw the divine warning of God saying this in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." If you've been calling good evil and evil good, you need to repent. You need to study God's word, come to understand what is evil and what is good, and call these things for what they are. Evil, sin, those things will condemn. Righteousness and good, those things are what God finds pleasing, what he has prescribed for us, and what will bring us into relationship with him. Now, to get into the topic we discussed using this principle, if we've been living this life, believing, encouraging, or participating in denominational division, you also need to repent. Don't resist the truth of God any longer. Study the Word of God, apply it in your life, obey the gospel. That means having believed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, we're willing to confess that truth before mankind, not only with our words, but with our lives, that we're willing to repent of our sins and turn to him in obedience, that we're willing to be baptized into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, contacting that precious blood which was shed for our sin. Let's determine today, through living, active discipleship, to live a righteous life in Jesus Christ, to contend earnestly for the faith, to confess him to others, helping them to come into relationship with him through obedience to the gospel, and to do so until our dying breath, or until the Lord comes in his glory to receive the righteous. If we can assist you in making your life right, according to the standard of God's word today, please let us know so that we might help you obey the gospel today.
Now that we've come to the end of the lesson, I'd like to extend an offer to you regarding our Wednesday evening Bible study. Wednesday evening at 7:30, we're going to be having a study of the parables of Jesus. Everyone's invited to participate in this online class using the Zoom application. You can use your smartphone, a tablet, or a laptop computer to log into the meeting. Once you're there, you'll be able to see and to hear all who are participating in the class and to discuss the Word of God with us. The details for this particular meeting will be provided in an email and a text message that's sent out to all the members of the website and of the church. If you don't have a way of using the Zoom application, you can still join us. Just call the phone number that's at the bottom of the invitation, and in this way, you'll be able to hear the Bible discussion that's being conducted by the members of the class. For all others, the Bible class that was conducted last week has been recorded, and we're going to make that available to you for listening purposes on the congregation's website on the Bible class webpage. If you need help in connecting with either of these things, either the pre-recorded class or the online class, then please let me know so that I can help you get connected as soon as possible. I sure hope you'll be able to join us in the upcoming class. And please, stay safe, and don't forget, keep reading your Bible.